You're listening to Munch, a podcast and website where we pair meals with movies. I'm Ben.
I'm Andre.
I'm Leanna.
And this week, we're here talking about the third Magic Month film, Magic Mike XXL. Probably the most magic of all of these. I mean, it's got magic
in the title. It has magic in the name.
Like, that's...
And the main character's name is Magic Mike.
It's hard to beat that. Like, the other shows might have had magic,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't have magic.
What if... I'm just imagining every Harry Potter title where you replace Harry Potter with Magic Mike.
Magic Mike and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Magic Mike and the Chamber of Secrets.
I'm really into that.
They all sound like pornos.
Yeah, it does. I mean, Magic Mike XXL kind of does too, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the point. Magic Mike and the Goblet of Fire. I don't know. It sounds sexual to me.
What one would you, out of all the Magic Mike film options, what one would you want to see the most based on the title alone?
Of the Magic Mike Harry Potter crossover?
Yes.
Ooh, Magic Mike and the Prisoner of Azkaban could have some like BDSM stuff going on with it. That could be interesting.
Andre?
I guess with Magic Mike and the Chamber of Secrets, like, it makes you wonder what's in that chamber. Maybe it's a really cool club like the one we saw in this movie. Like, it's a special mm-hmm. place. And I want to see how special that place is.
I think I'm going to go with Magic Mike and the Order of the Phoenix. It sounds like a little too uptight, and so you know there's like something below the surface that's like ready to be exposed.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what else is ready to be exposed?
I'm ready for this crossover.
Bam! So for the food for this podcast, or not for this podcast, for this movie, we went with more of a concept-driven approach with this one. And we're going to kind of riff on it a little bit here. But I'm just going to start out saying we went with a very particular kind of strip club and the food they would serve there. So imagine this in some place in Oregon.
We're deciding it's in Oregon.
Portland. It's one of those, like, Portland like is well-known.
It's got that food.
No, that's good,
there's
though.
Enough strip clubs in Portland that you can find your niche in this strip club.
Yeah, pass. Like, I was about like, to be like, wow, guys, somehow. Like, way to just, like, just choose that it's going to be in Portland. But then I was like, Portland has the most strip clubs per capita.
Yeah.
So they probably have a good variety, so you can get a little bit everything.
And isn't mm-hmm. there, like, a stipulation that you need to serve food or something?
Yes. I believe there is.
That
yeah.
is real?
I mean, I've actually never been to a strip club in Portland, but I'm pretty sure that that's a thing.
Okay. Because food isn't normally sold at strip clubs. Am I right?
It doesn't seem...
Wait, quick show of hands. Which of us have gone to a strip club?
That is a single... One hand raises up.
And what did you order?
I didn't... drinks.
That is fair.
Yeah.
Because food is a very weird thing.
I don't think I ever saw anyone eating... You don't always have, like, a table that's conducive to, you know, using your fork and knife. Yeah. Although, all the foods we made were finger foods. And I think there's something to that.
Yeah. Like, maybe in a weird way, this is, like, some ploy by the manager. Mm-hmm. So that he or she can very specifically see if, quote-unquote, the goods have been touched.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're thinking, like, greasy, dirty.
I bet they have bowls of Cheetos and or Doritos out.
Mm. Oh, definitely.
This is that definitely. Kind of strip club.
Well, also, it would serves
you,
that double purpose.
If you
purpose.
Were at a strip club, would you reach into the bowl of Cheetos
Ooh,
that are out?
Definitely not.
Because, like, with peanuts, they have a protective shell around them, so you,
That's
like,
true.
Can crack it open and you get in.
But if yeah. it's just, like, what some Doritos like, hanging out.
What if it's, like, a complimentary snack size bag they give you at the door?
I don't know if that's better or worse. Like, I'd be more likely to eat it, but I also... I don't know.
Like, at what
they,
point...
They, like, take your money and they give you a bag of Cheetos.
And at what
say,
point do you open yeah. that bag of Cheetos? Like, yeah. what... Like, well, have you been in I there for a little bit? And it's like, all right, now this is the time.
And it's going to be so loud. Like, you
I
know,
think,
everyone's going to hear
happens.
You open that
none
bag
of the ladies,
and dig in.
None of the ladies are paying attention to you. You walk away, you rip it open. That's how you get their attention. Mm. And then you start shaking your drink all over the place,
oh.
making people smile.
Okay, so this kind of, like, goes both ways. Like,
yeah.
not only are you the client... All right, I'm imagining... This isn't a single kind of gender strip establishment. There's a lot of options depending on what floor you're on.
This is an anything goes.
This is an anything goes. Like,
so it's a big club.
It's bigger, which is like counter to my initial idea of like kind of seedy, kind of. But I think for this to ultimately work, it has to be a bigger club.
Yeah. I think so too, because we served a variety of foods today, and they don't necessarily go together, but they do if your approach is to have something for everyone.
Like, honestly, I don't think any of them went together.
No, it kind of
one for each floor, maybe?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like a Trove scenario. They've got the noodle bar in the front, and they have the Korean barbecue in the back, and then at the entrance, you can get the parfait. Okay. It's just like
that. Trove is a Korean barbecue restaurant in Seattle.
And noodle bar, and parfait. It just depends on what location you're in, what you can order. So I think that's how this is. Like, maybe you get maybe the roof serves desserts.
Oh, there's a roof?
Yeah, there's a roof.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think that's legal.
In this scenario?
Yeah.
All right. Let's say
they have a special
if there's
permit.
Like a canvas over the roof.
Okay.
No other buildings can see into it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where this is.
maybe the roof doesn't have nudity, but it's more about the dancing.
Mm.
It's like imagine a lot of people are up on the roof.
Like you, dance with the other members there.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Like you watch other people dance and you want to try out some moves you learn downstairs, you go upstairs.
Oh, I like that idea.
I like that too.
It mends the two floors.
Like you have a routine you want to work on.
And there's a tier to... Exactly, so that gives them the opportunity to just play around and have some fun, which works for the enjoyment of your entertainers, ultimately. Mm-hmm. There's just kind of like a variety. It's like a playground.
Yeah.
Top floor is considered the playground.
Yeah.
Oh, can we just call it that, the playground?
It is the
It is the playground.
Wait, is the playground just the top floor, or is that the entire...
I think that's the whole deal. It's a playground. Anything goes.
I was going to say it's the top floor.
I like each floor having a tiered name and a thematic name.
Yeah.
We still need to come up with...
How about the whole thing's a playground. Top floor is recess.
Okay.
I'm on top of that.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
Is one of them like detention or like timeout or something?
Definitely.
The jungle?
That's underground. That's the basement.
This is the basement?
There is a jungle gym. There's a jungle gym on the second floor.
All right. So... for recess, which is the top floor, correct?
Yes.
What did we... So recess, we had some food. So we can imagine there's, like, different food on each floor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we have the top floor. We have detention on the bottom.
Yes.
What else are we imagining in this?
There's jungle gym, and I think they lean into jungle. It's kind of like... There's a lot of... It's dark. There's green plants.
It's kind of misty, humid.
Yeah.
A lot... Like, it gets sweaty in there.
Yeah, it does. Ooh. It does.
We have now kind of morphed the idea of this strip club a little bit. Are you still given... Like, is there still Cheetos / Doritos?
Definitely not. Not anymore.
Okay, are you still given personal-sized Cheeto bags, though?
Still no. I'm going to go with no. It was a fun idea, but I don't know if it's...
But it kind of leads into this, like playground recess thing.
Yeah. What would the ground floor be? Because we have floor two, we have a roof, we have
the basement. But the place that you're describing seems like the place...
We're morphing it.
Well, yeah, and it sounds like the type of place where you're not worried about people touching the goods because you actually, like, trust your clientele enough that when they interact with your employees... Yeah. You trust that, like, it's for the benefit of both.
Like, this is more of, like, a Roman / Jada Pinkett Smith domina in Magic Mike XXL scenario.
That's exactly it.
Where
allows them to touch her performers because they're participants in their routine.
Yeah, and culturally, it takes on a very different, like, culturally, strip clubs are known to be kind of seedy, but here it's more about the idea of entertainment and, also allowing for gratification and self-improvement and healing, if you will.
Healing, yes. Mm-hmm. But like, I think it's that the employees all have a craft, and each of our floors will enable, the individual performer's craft to shine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if that involves audience participation, so be it.
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
All right, so we got three floors.
Yeah.
What else are we talking?
I think ground floor could be like the court.
The court. What happens on the court?
What happens on the court stays on the court. I don't know. It's like basketball court, the kickball. Okay. Thinking of,
so like or the big, field, like no. Let's roll with this for a second.
Yeah.
So well, yeah. Like as that's you saw in playground. A couple scenes in this in Magic Mike XXL, like big basketball shoes mm-hmm. to like oh, so oversized things to accentuate
right.
the muscles or the toneness or the bodaciousness of the performers in this building.
Yeah, they're also more like flowy and they allow for movement and they're coming mm-hmm. off anyway, so like
they are coming off.
You're gonna see what's underneath.
Okay.
So and it's called playground. I like this.
Yeah, and I'm imagining male and female performers on the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's just all mixed together. It's just happening. Mm-hmm. You're in it. I like this idea.
It sounds a lot like a strip club in Salem called Presley's Play Place.
Oh Lord.
Just a name, not... actually, no. Presley's Play Place was half hookah bar, half strip club.
I That's can't. A weird Is that mix. The one you went to?
I've been on both sides.
I like to hear it referred as that.
Wait, when did you go to a strip club?
It was a long time ago.
Like more than 6 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Not the place to be here, yeah.
The hookah bar...
Any dirty line.
I went to... more recently than that, and it was weird because the strippers would like come out and take their smoke break there.
This you did tell me about. Yes. I knew about this.
That was a little unusual. So it would be yeah. like a stripper like just wearing a coat, their smoke break in the... Because the hookah area was like kind of yeah. an enclosed patio to the right.
Doesn't that like break that... Like yeah. for performers, isn't there this idea of... When you're on stage, you're this personality. And
yeah, like you have another name.
Yeah, yeah. And like, doesn't it break it a little bit when if they then come in the hoop?
I would think so. Tell yeah. us more.
Interesting. Would you call this a
you
fine
kind of like
establishment?
This, no. It's Presley's okay. Play Place.
It's like you say that mall. And I it's, have no okay. idea.
I'm sorry. Oh, it's in a strip mall.
All right. Paint this picture, please.
You walk in. The bouncer like has a gun and everything. Like he's intense.
Wait, yeah. so you can see his gun?
Yes.
How big is his gun?
It's a pistol.
No. How big is his gun?
I mean,
it's average.
I mean, okay. I know you probably thought it was yeah. obvious it was a pistol. I thought it was a shotgun.
Okay.
Okay. I love that.
I'm sorry.
Like, he's just sitting there with, like, shotgun leaning yeah. on his shoulder.
Welcome to Presley's Play Place.
Yeah, like, if you actually have the balls to then go through the door in that scenario.
Yeah.
Props to you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
You say whether you want to go to the hookah bar or the strip club. Hookah bar's to the right.
Oh, so it's also like Trove.
Kind of.
Yeah, same yeah. answer. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. The strip club has an ATM that dispenses ones.
Okay.
And the hookah bar, I remember they were low on flavors. Mm. You know, I think it was like three. But it's a hookah bar, also the place, like the smoking area for the bar. So people go out there to smoke.
That's
so.
Weird.
It was weird.
That's not, it that doesn't weird. Sound ideal.
But I was, like, really into hookah at the time, and there were two hookah bars in Salem, and the other one was, like, a 30-minute drive, so.
Yeah, okay.
Presley's
yeah.
it was.
That's fair.
Presley's it was. The other one was H2 Hookah. Hookah. H2O Hookah. Yeah.
It
was,
doesn't sound great. I don't love it.
It needs some work.
That place was more like the strip club you were describing earlier, in that there were a lot of black lights. So, and there were...
definitely see.
Yeah. There were, like, couches, and the couches were, like, pilling, and it was really obvious in the black light because, it was bad. No one liked H2 hookah.
Who decided the black light? That's just a bad decision. Black
oh,
light
no, that's a bad totally idea. A hookah bar thing.
Yeah, but that's also a bad decision.
It is. But, you know.
Back to the playground.
Okay, so, like, what's the other strip club that you went to?
It was called Stars.
That's like, that's not a strip club, though. That's, like,
It was a cabaret.
Yeah.
It was a strip club.
I mean, cabaret is like there's at least like
a it performance
said,
to it.
Yeah,
there wasn't. It said Stars Cabaret, but I got.
Was there singing?
No.
Isn't that what a cabaret is? Do I not know what a cabaret is?
I don't know if Stars knows what a cabaret is.
I mean, there's probably some dancing as well. Like, I don't think it needs to be particularly singing.
Mm.
But what do I know? I've only seen the cabaret musical. Never seen a real cabaret.
Well, neither is Andre.
Yeah, me neither.
Now I'm just looking at names of Seattle strip clubs.
Oh, hit us with some. Oh, wait, I got, okay, wait, I got one more.
That would have been a great game. Like, is it Seattle strip club or...
Or something else.
Something else.
Yeah.
Whatever that is.
There was one, so when my parents moved, the way I would tell people how to get there was to take the Jiggles exit. Because there was an exit, well, there is still an exit. It's the exit you take to get to my parents' house. And right at the exit was this giant sign in pink letters that said Jiggles. Mm-hmm. And then there was this building that looked pretty shady. You know, it had windows, but they were black.
Okay.
So, like, it looked like it had been something else, but then they just, like, blacked out the windows.
Yeah.
And I specifically remember that it was open from 3 to 3. Like, that's what it said on the window, like, open from 3 to 3.
That's interesting hours.
Yeah. And it was just, like, everyone knew Jiggles.
I knew. I mean, I was from Salem, and on your way to Portland, you would pass this sign all the time.
You could not miss it.
You know where to go for Jiggles.
My parents hated it. Mm-hmm. They're much happier now that it's a Cabela's.
Mm-hmm. Get your ammo.
Yeah, and guns.
Camo. No more Jiggles.
No more Jiggles.
So, Seattle strip clubs.
Yep.
None of these will be surprising. They're actually a little boring, in all honesty. So, Deja Vu Showgirls.
Mm-hmm.
That one feels like maybe some, like, silver and purple color scheme, like...
Silver and pink.
You've seen it. They have, like, the really big sign outside.
Yeah, it's down, like, on First by...
Oh, is that the one by Pike Place?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says, fact, birthday parties are way more fun with hot girls. Every word in a different font. Very impressive. And it, like, keeps repeating that.
So many things in that.
A lot.
All right.
Kitten's Cabaret...
Oh, do they have cats? Mm-hmm. Is it a cat cafe? Is it a cat stripper cafe?
Ooh. Oh. Wow.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah, that's a lot there. Yes.
You can't have kittens in your name anymore if you don't actually have them.
Well, I think at a strip club you can.
Can you?
They're a different kind of kitten.
Yeah.
Which, again, is really weird when I start to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Sans Showgirls.
Like, is it, like, Arabian themed? Like sands? Like desert? Desert sands?
I'm not getting that from this single picture that is here.
There used to be the Lusty Lady.
There used to be the Lusty Lady.
They always had good puns on their board outside.
What do you mean used to be? Did it shut down?
Yeah, it was also on First.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
We took my roommate there when he got dumped.
Mm-hmm.
You took Dominic there?
Mm-hmm.
Was that?
Yeah.
That's what you thought that was a good idea to you. You were like,
have I heard stories about this place?
I don't. I feel
like someone took like a Catan board or like a board game there because wasn't there also like quarter show booths or something? And then like maybe this is just a very fake story or something. Okay. But someone put like a board game out and like wanted the girl on the other side to play with them. I don't know.
Did she?
Don't know.
That's a cool story.
I don't remember that part of the story. Pandora's Adult Cabaret.
I mean, they could have just said Pandora's Box. Like, they could have just said that.
They could have.
It would have been,
And Little Darlings.
Mm, that sounds very bad. Don't like that one.
No, maybe that's the one with the hot girls. No.
Is that the one with the hot
girls? No, the sign that says, like, little, birthday parties
little
are
Darlings
way more fun.
Is by... Little Darlings is either by the stadium or by the new Amazon places.
Yeah. On West Lake. That's right. It is. It's like, because every time I walk to there for lunch or like to meet up with a friend or go to a meeting, it's like, that's right across from Amazon. And it's weird. It's like a sex shop and a cabaret.
All in one.
Yeah.
Everything you need.
Everything you need. Finally, they just get to the point and it's called Dancing Bear.
Dancing
not,
Bear?
Not no. B-E-A-R.
B-A-R-E. Oh, okay.
Oh, yes.
I thought
okay.
I knew what I, this was about, yeah. And then now I have a different impression.
I thought it was Dancing Bears.
Yeah, that would be interesting.
It would be a change of pace.
Yeah, it would be, but it's definitely not. Mm-hmm. They spent no time thinking about both their business goals.
and word of mouth.
Yeah.
I like Dancing Bear better than Little Darlings.
Yeah, Little Darlings, change your name.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
So you should, at this point, after a fair bit of stripper talk, have a good sense of the style and theme and thematic, like, of the food we're going for. It's, like, a little all across the board, but, like, it has its place.
It's funny because we have talked about how talking about the food might be a little boring. We spend too much time talking about it. And here we are 20 minutes in the podcast and we're still...
It's not that we talk about it a lot. 20 minutes spent
on strip clubs, which it's I think is very interesting.
It's all fun. You're still engaged, the audience. So
it's all good content.
Speaking for them.
Yeah.
But sure.
Yeah.
So go to getmunchedup.com and look at our most recent post. And you can see the food that we actually ended up making for this. Photos of it, kind of more information about it. I think it'll be great.
Yeah.
And now on to the movie proper, the sequel to Magic Mike. Magic Mike XXL. I would love to know what they do for the third one, if they ever come out with
a triple XL. It's there. It's easy.
It's right there.
Is that gonna be the tagline too?
Triple, yes.
It's there. It's easy.
Coming in at 1 hour and 55 minutes.
Woo!
Which is probably the shortest film we've watched recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's not bad. Should we just open up to general thoughts and then kind of go along with the conversation from there?
Yeah, I never saw the first one, and I felt like I could tell what was going on. Like, clearly Mike was separated from this group, but they were really tight friends of his, and he kind of fell back into step with them after a couple rough re-entry. But I really enjoyed it. It was like a very character-driven bro road trip comedy that was like very... It was a bro comedy that was like very inclusive and like...
Yep. That is for sure, which is really awesome actually, and like kind of unexpected.
Yeah, every time you're kind of like... You're like hair's rising, like they're gonna make one of those jokes, and then it's like a... They don't. They just like...
Like, it's incredibly smart and well-written and just, like, you have some extreme ends with, like, Jada Pinkett Smith's character calling all the women in the audience queens. Oh, and
Jada's the queen. She's so good.
She's incredible in this film, and, like, whoever decided to choose her for that casting, like, an inspired pick that was perfect. And then you also have, like, Donald Glover talking about, like, hey, these women come in here with everyone out, like, all the men in their lives out there not listening to them. And it's amazing how they can ride both lines, and they do it well. And just completely unexpected from this film. At least I didn't expect it, because when you look at the base material, it's, hey, here's a bunch of male entertainers slash strippers going on a road trip to a convention in Myrtle Beach. There's going to be a lot of dancing. There's going to be a lot of naked bods, not fully naked, but bods nonetheless. And you don't expect much from it. And it far exceeds your expectations. So much so that going to the extent that, like, hey, women of all types, sizes, ages, race, like, everyone on that kind of spectrum are supposed to be and deserve loving and attention, and to feel beautiful and to be themselves and everything like that. And, like, they pass that with, like, flying colors and just absolutely.
And it doesn't feel like they're going out of their way to, like, show you that too. Like, they're not trying to, like, knock you over the head with, like, hey, like, look, we like, it feels very natural. Like, this is just
like, they were very smart in who they cast it as the extras and how they brought them into the fold and who was on stage in those certain moments. And
I thought the drag queen show was nice too.
I'm glad that they included that also. Like, a different performer. And and later, I also appreciated when they were at the campfire that they had brought the, was that Proud Mary, or was MC. that No, she had a different name.
I don't remember. Proud Mary
was the name of the establishment. I don't remember her name. I don't remember
the MC for that night.
Yeah, yeah. But they brought the MC out with them and she was just hanging out.
Tori Snatch.
Yeah, Tori Snatch. And yeah. She was hanging out with them and it just felt like they all appreciated each other's art. And I thought that was cool.
Yeah, they just really let everyone be
yeah.
who they were.
And the first time I watched this film, I remember, I think it was the first scene where they're back together and they're at the pool. And there's all these scenes of them just conversing. And mm-hmm. I started to think, I was like, is this a bad film? Like, I couldn't get behind the dialogue.
Them at the
and
pool.
Then, and then it, when oh, they right. when they got into the, after Mike decides he's going to go on the road trip with them and they're in the van and they're cruising along, I started to realize that it just didn't feel scripted.
Yeah.
And in my mind, I was like, I'm watching a movie. I'll hear a script. But...
Yeah, they're going to tell a very specific story and it's going to hit these beats. And,
right. Yeah. You're going to have one-liners. You're going to have people like specifically cracking jokes. But no, it was really just, it felt like these friends hanging out and some of the things they said were funny because like genuinely it was
funny. Yeah, it really felt like genuine conversations and less like a joke set up and a punchline.
Exactly.
And it was funny because it's funny the way your friends are funny. There's not like a joke set up and then a punchline.
Yeah. But it's the interactions that have you've experienced over time and grown and that's ultimately what's funny about it.
I also just talking about friendships in that movie, like Magic Mike himself has really great friendships with everyone and he kind of like explores his friendship with each member of I guess the strip club they all used to work at. Haven't seen the first movie again, but that's kind of the impression I got.
Yeah.
And at the very end, he's with, what's his name? Tarzan, who he has, like, not talked to much throughout the movie. And he was like, I feel like we haven't had our moment yet.
Yeah.
And Tarzan was like, I called you because I missed you. I'm glad you're back. And it's like, it made me think of, like, the friendships you have where you're in a group of friends, he's in a group of friends, or she. And, like, you're both in the same group of friends, but you haven't had that moment, but you still like consider that person your friend, and like it was really great. And then the friend that they had a falling outs with, and you had to get back together with that friend, and a lot of different friendships explored in that movie.
And, and it's really, really cool that they give each
the ex that you need a favor from, and you're friends with now, and just like
those people
really
that like
good character driven
you're
movie.
Still friend like you haven't talked in a while but you immediately pick up that friendship and that connection. That's a really good point actually, like
kind of like what was that Top Five kind of got the same vibes as Top Five where it was about the main character's relationship with different people and it's scene to scene and it's funny but it's not a comedy. I don't think I would call it, what would you call it, a drama, a comedy? Well, how would this be classified?
I mean, I think it's still a comedy.
Yeah.
But I think it's more in the structure of the film itself.
Yeah.
That
they don't tell jokes. Like, there is no setup. There is no punchline.
It's a comedy the same way, like, Insecure or Girls is a comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, like, movies don't have that same HBO dramedy line. Like, it feels like in movies,
at least not really popular. Like, there's people that go for that idea of it being, like, very natural and kind of... trying like a director trying to pull the experiences out of the actors and the actors just being in a scene and letting it happen.
And more often I think you hit that dramedy with like romance story arcs, like Celeste and Jesse Forever comes to mind, where there were definitely parts of that movie that were really funny, but it was also like very serious and touched on like some really serious relationship stuff that was like hard to watch, but also really rewarding to watch that film.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you don't see it so much in a film like this where like there was no romance really. Like
it was a bromance.
It was a bromance.
Without like feeling
friendship.
Like every other bromance movie.
Yeah.
It was like
it's a group, but like all wrapped up. Like it's crazy, but it's like this bromance movie all wrapped up in what is probably typically a, like, female objectification, like not objectification of women, but of men. And so it's definitely for that female gaze, while being a bro story told in that structure, which is really interesting.
I think it's also one of the ways it stands out from other bromance movies is it doesn't try to hit you over the head with like, look how close these bros are. Like, look at how well they get along. It's almost like when you, as soon as Channing Tatum gets on that food truck and hits the road with them, you're already pretty solid in their friendship. Yeah. Like, yeah, he and Ken have like a little bit of stuff to work out and, but after that, it's really just, you're just kind of in it. You're like, oh, these guys are such good friends, and I'm just going to watch them be friends.
Yeah, and they're friends kind of outside the normal, typical structure of what a male friendship should be like, which I think is often depicted as being kind of very harsh, cold, or restrained. And these guys are comfortable being like, no, you're doing really great. Like, oh, I'm going to entertainer. I'm going to pat you on your back. We're going to build each other up.
Yeah.
Yeah. And because we're here for each other and we are going to support each other how they need to be supported and things like that.
There's a scene after they stay in the house with the moms.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. Yep.
And it's the morning and like one guy is, it looks like he's making like huevos rancheros or something. Mm-hmm. And the other two have just come down and they're hanging out. And then, was his name Dick? They call him Dick?
Big Dick Rick
comes down. Richie comes down and they have this exchange where like not very many words are said and like Richie doesn't say anything, but the men are just like, they're so happy for him, not because he like had sex with someone, but because it was like fulfilling for him. And
because, you know, like there was a scene earlier in the movie. I want to talk about that more. There was a scene earlier in the movie where, they have this, it was when they had that beach party with the drag queen and other people from that show.
Yeah.
And there was kind of that bro moment the next morning where like two guys come back after hanging out with girls all night and the other guys are like, so did you get lucky? And one guy was like, yeah, it was really great. And the other guy, Dick, Richie, whatever, was like, I don't know, it just like wasn't right. I don't know. I haven't like found my glass slipper. And then when they're with the at that and house, they're saying,
to add some extra information here, Big Dick Richie or Big Dick Rick, true to his name, has a big dick, and so the movie sets up that often people are afraid of it when they see it, and they're like, ah, I'm just gonna move on to other stuff and not actually have intercourse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and so the movie is setting up for this moment.
Yeah, and then they say, did you find your glass slipper? And he says, yes. And he was like really happy.
It was like really cute because it wasn't about him like,
it wasn't like a like conquest thing. It was like you feel so good about it. It was also like you finally found someone who was like a good match for you.
And it is such like a surprising thing to talk about and to have be like a seminal moment of a type in this film for a bunch of guys to like find friendship and enjoyment and kind of like confidence in each other over something like that.
Yeah.
But it is like, it tells kind of the heart and soul of this film and that it is doing it for like what is actually the correct reasons. And that's okay for that to happen and for that to be acceptable and sexuality in that way to be accepted in society without it being harsh or about conquest or about moments like that, which is,
and the way they acted it, like they were so genuine. Yeah. Like it was just the one of my favorite moments of the film. Like, it's so good.
It's kind of cute in a weird way.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
The way they high five and the way like Rich, like he can't even talk. He's just so like choked up.
The little subtle high five was really nice.
It's really good.
Yeah.
And and that all of this is to say that like also this doesn't really have that typical film three-act structure. Mm-hmm. Like, there's never a really distinct moment where you feel like they're not going to succeed, but the film is confident and kind of propels itself forward regardless. Like, the only one moment would be when they got into a car crash, but that was, like, relatively early into the film.
So you know they're kind of...
And they throw in moments of doubt, but it is still kind of like a pretty much an upward rise throughout, and it still feels satisfying and enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, did they win though? Did they even win?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
That I kind of love that.
It's all about the journey.
Yeah, it shows them afterwards.
They got what they wanted out of that
And they all wanted to be, like, done with stripping. So they weren't good. It was going to be their last ride. They weren't going to do anything if they won or not. It was just about, like, a fun weekend with the guys and, like,
and they all did a performance that reflected them better than what Dallas made them do.
It was great to see everyone, like,
you're not a fireman.
Do their, you've watched them this whole time.
You're a male entertainer.
Yeah. You've been watching these characters the whole time, and to have them, like, do a dance at the end of the movie that sums up, like, their character and what their character wants and, like, the fulfillment of, like, their character's needs was really great. It was a great way to end the
And some of their characters, like, and they also do enjoy stripping. Like, not to, like, shed a bad light on stripping, because there's people that enjoy it and want
to
do it.
Oh, no. It just sounded like they were ready to, like, go on to their next big dream.
Yeah, but there was moments, like, with Tito where it was like, you still love this. You still want it. And you're just going to go out there and have a good time because you love it and enjoy it and have done it and want to continue doing it while also having these other interests and pursuits, building them out in a flat but, like, complex way that, like, hey, these are characters with more than just stripping. They're more than just those bodies.
Mm-hmm. It's a good film.
It was.
This was fun.
I was like, I did not expect to like it as much as I did.
I know. Yeah. I'm glad you liked it too.
It was really good. And it, like, wasn't reviewed great.
No.
Surprisingly. I thought it was, like,
wait, really?
I thought it was a good movie.
Yeah, like,
It was 60-something on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, so seriously. 64 on Rotten Tomatoes, and the audience score is actually lower. It's 56%, which is rare. And then same on IMDb, it's basically like a 50-ish.
That's
where the original Magic Mike has an 81% on Rotten Tomatoes.
They're such different movies.
Now. They are. They are.
Yeah, but I think it sounds like you have a movie you need to watch now. So maybe while you watch that... Okay. I can watch.
I'm just imagining
Spider-Man
me watching
too.
Magic Mike on the bus.
Hey, that's fine.
Own it. No, just go with it. If someone judges you, just like,
yeah, like, what's your issue?
This is why you got me on the bus. If someone judges you, like, have you seen this one?
Yeah.
It's good. Like, really just like, good. Yeah, should I have a conversation? Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want a
headphone?
Earbud?
Like, yeah.
Come on, join
He's
it.
Doing Pony. This is the best part.
Yeah. This is his song.
No,
just don't get it.
I think you'll have fun watching it because that's the one Matthew McConaughey is in.
I love
you'll
Matthew
love
McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah,
like he's
very good in it.
I don't doubt that.
I mean,
he says it's against the law to touch, but I'm sensing a lot of lawbreakers in this room, or something along those lines.
He's so good. If I didn't have so many movies that I'd promised to watch myself, I would watch it with you.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think I gotta, you know, take back that time to myself.
Watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, which is like a bummer because I'm assuming another Magic Mike isn't going to be made, but it is wonderful. It is important in a weird way, and it's a bummer more movies like it aren't being made. Like, a lot of smart people were behind this product, even if it didn't necessarily, like, make... I'm going to check how it did financially, because... Yeah, in a lot of ways, that determines a lot of business decisions.
Whether they make a Magic
Mike
Triple
XL.
Yeah,
in the age of sequels, yeah.
Yeah. So you two, just talk amongst yourselves.
I don't know if they need to make a sequel to it, though. Like, I don't know if there's more needs to be
It would
told.
Only be if they had another story to tell. Like,
yeah.
And they'd also have to have a good reason for bringing all of them back.
Yeah.
You know what could be interesting?
What?
What if they did a prequel?
Oh.
So it was like how they all ended up.
Muggle Mike.
Muggle Mike.
Before he gets his magic.
No.
No? Okay.
It'd just be called Mike.
Mike. Okay.
I like where you were going with that, Andre. I'll applaud the.
Nice try, though.
So the budget was $14.8 million. Relatively small.
Mm-hmm.
Box office, $122.5 million.
That's also not that big.
It's not that big.
But the payoff is good.
So, like, I think for what... Yeah, like, for what it was and what it got, I think that's relatively good.
I think a prequel could be good, though. Like, how they all ended up with Dallas, how Dallas found them,
if
how they
could
all came
bring
together.
Back Jada Pinkett Smith, because then you have that storyline.
That's right, because she would be part of the prequel story.
Yeah.
Also, actually seeing the moment where Mike uncovers Pony, because he mentions it in passing that, like, he developed Pony based on, like, a party he went to and seeing a girl that like wasn't being treated right, and like he made up a dance based on like how he wanted to dance with her. So like being able to see that scene, like that'd be a good opening scene. It was a
very intimate dance.
And then we jump to like, no, you haven't seen him do Pony yet.
Well, I saw him do Pony in the shop, and
that's not
what
the
I
same.
Saw. Was,
oh, but that's still pretty darn good.
Yeah, it is pretty good.
Like, what a start. Like, I remember that first trailer coming out for Magic Knight
XXL. It was just
XXL.
That scene.
And that was all you needed. It was
and then
perfect.
Later they came out with the scene where Richie is, like, shooting the water.
Yeah,
and,
oh, yeah, I'm just that. Like, yes.
That's also very good. Very good film.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
I'm so glad. We've talked about doing this for so long. I'm glad that it was such a
we
positive
really
experience.
We really have. Mm-hmm. I was worried what Andre would think of it, but like I shouldn't have just because.
I was too.
The film is like represents a lot of different focuses. And
I didn't get. I don't know. I don't know if you guys got a thrill out of this movie. I didn't get a thrill out of it, but I appreciated the difficulty that went into some of those dances. Channing Tatum would just like. Well, not just Channing Tatum, but especially Channing Tatum would just like pick people up, flip over,
he'd
do
pick them up, and then before you knew
just,
it, he was upside down, and
you
were like,
"Wait,
how?
That?
Yeah,
and when?"
And then they'll like somersault and like
it's like a dance movie in a weird way.
Like going back to our drinking rules, there were so many moments where Channing Tatum was like most definitely levitating. So like. Uh-huh. Definitely magic.
Right, for sure.
That's
there were
got
also, I think, going back to one of our rules was drink whenever someone doubts magic. Mm-hmm. I think there were a lot of moments where they doubted themselves. Mm-hmm. And so you'd have to drink that. For that, but then they'd also build each other up. So, like, it was balanced for sure.
And there were definitely moments where, like, I was blown away by the magic.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were clapping. We were celebrating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It fits right into Magic Month.
Yeah, it was. And, yeah, I thought that there
it's
was...
good close to Magic Month, too.
This was our prestige.
The most of the magic.
I liked that magical house in the South where the women could go to, and like if you had a bad day, it just turns around and
as a subscription service.
It's a subscription service. That was interesting.
Yeah,
but I liked that house a lot. I was like, every room they walked into was a little different.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, this is nothing like Presley's Playhouse.
Yeah, and it seems like it was also not just for women, but also there is... the rims for men as well. That like when you first start
that's
walking
right.
through it.
Yeah.
So like it was a very
similar to the playground,
multifaceted house.
Yeah.
That like I imagine was just some plantation owners that they then like take back from him and turn it around and take advantage of it.
Of the huge space.
Yeah.
Massive.
But that must have been a pretty magical moment for all those women who were drawn out of the crowd. They're like being flipped around.
I really wonder how much of it was
realistic.
No, I was gonna say like how many of those people they pulled out, like how much practice they gave those people, because
I bet a decent amount.
I don't know, the look of surprise and wonder and just
actors,
like
Leon.
And they're thrown around a lot to a point where they're not actually doing that much.
Yeah,
but I also bet some of them like. Are just chosen, and you're able to get that many people for the chance to be chosen in a weird way. So I imagine, like, some of it is just completely...
Yeah.
Yeah, like, my theory is that they cast for extras, and then they were, like, extras were told, like, you may be, like, dancing with Twitch.
With the exception of maybe, like,
Channing
one or
Tatum.
Two. Uh-huh. In the house, because like, hey, if Channing Tatum's gonna get up on like both of your backs and
like you have to be about the same size so that he can balance, like yeah. So I think they told people, they were like, this is a chance that this may happen. And then I think like the day they were shooting those scenes, they just chose people, and they maybe got like a couple of dry runs where they were like, hey, be prepared for this. He's gonna lift you like this, and they like maybe like practiced it, but then they were like, okay, like. Go.
Yeah.
And they just had to like be ready.
Moment of surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it feels even though there's like some incredible feats of athleticism on both accounts, like both performer and like the woman being performed with, like it feels she doesn't really do that much. She just has to be like willing to follow wherever the performer takes her. And I felt like that was happening.
I think that these dancers would have to have someone to practice with.
Yes, definitely something to practice with.
So I don't know why they wouldn't just use the person who's going to be that.
Because person. I think you want that authentic surprise in the scene.
You think so?
That
yeah.
Like, as a director, you want the women in those scenes to be really into it and to be surprised and to kind of just be coming along on the journey and for those responses to be authentic and mean something.
And part of the craft in their job is being able to dance with any woman.
Yeah.
You don't know who's going to be in the front row that you're going to pick out of the crowd. You don't.
But I also have to imagine, like...
Just like in Now You See Me, too.
Real male entertainers.
We haven't seen that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we haven't
seen Now You See Me 1. That's right. Get them mixed up all the time.
I'll let you know how Now You See Me 2 is.
Okay.
Maybe it's not that good.
It's probably not.
I doubt it. I would love to know if it's better than 1, though.
I'll let you know.
All right.
Yep.
Looking forward to it. Real male entertainers probably don't do the dances like that, right? Because, like, no, I am for sure worried about... Yeah. I mean, you could sign something before you get in there.
There was one scene where...
guys. Maybe we should just, like, go to Vegas and...
I don't know. I want to go to the Southern House.
I'm pretty sure they have a Magic Mike show in Vegas, though.
Yes, they did. They... If I remember right, they advertised for it with, like, them and puppies.
Oh. That sounds marketing. Really, really great.
Yeah, it's kind of like just two great things that taste great together.
Together, yeah. Okay.
I don't know if it's still going on, though.
I think it is.
Oh, is it?
I think I remember seeing ads for it when I was there.
The puppies, too?
Not the puppies. Mm. If there were puppies, we may have actually gone there.
They're not like dogs live. Las Vegas.
What hotel is it?
Enough foreplay. The wait is over.
Oh, geez.
Tickets are available now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, the show. Sorry.
You're going to get some great targeted ads now.
Oh, you know I am. I mean, I already get a lot of AWS ads, so...
But we have AWS.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We already bought this.
But I've been looking... I've been having to look at AWS a lot recently, so, I've been getting a lot of AWS. There's photos of all the stars, which is not the hotel.
And is Channing Tatum?
He's
still
not.
No? Okay. No longer the original cast.
It'd be great if they brought them back, once every,
Wow. Okay. So the show will recreate the mythical Club Domina as a cabaret nightclub space inside the Hard Rock Hotel. There you go. There's the hotel.
All right.
As being fully redesigned to capture the magneticism of the Magic Mike franchise.
Wow.
This state-of-the-art venue is designed with the capabilities to house a show that features 13 of the hottest and most talented men in the country performing in front of, behind, above, and all around the audience.
Oh, whoa. I thought you were going to say below.
No, never below.
Conceived by
that's
Channing
one thing
Tatum,
they will not do. It's in the contract.
And co-directed by Tatum and film franchise choreographer Allison Falk, the show features
that's
sexy
cool.
and wow. daring... themed dance and strip routines punctuated by one-of-a-kind acts from a wildly diverse cast of performers.
Wow.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, we're taking sponsorships. Who wants to send us? Or just me,
just by yourself.
Yeah.
We can add that to another podcast.
Yeah.
That Leanna has to tell us about.
If you send me, I will follow up on this podcast because you all know I'm very good about following up.
Uh-huh.
So one of the guys is just like a drummer.
Pirates of the Caribbean too.
One of the guys is just a drummer.
He just drums?
Perhaps. Here's a video.
Whoa.
Which is always great. This just looks like the trailer for Magic Mike.
Okay.
Well, it's weird. True to its source.
Okay. Not what I wanted. But sure.
Well, since we've hit a dead end, is it time to wrap it up?
I think so.
Yeah, I guess so. But all this is to say that Magic Mike XXL is pretty solid.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed my second experience watching
it. It exceeds expectations. That's what the 2X stands for. Exceeds expectations largely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you done now?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We can add that one to the post.
Uh-huh.
That'll be good.
Yeah.
We are Get Munched Up. You can find our content on Instagram at Get Munched Up, Twitter at Get Munched Up, Facebook Get Munched Up, I think, or look for Munch or Munch Blog, something in that realm. We are also, as previously mentioned, at getmunchedup.com, which you can find a lot of our posts, our reviews, as well as all the food and photos we take. And finally, we would love it if you rate, comment, and subscribe on this podcast on iTunes. It helps us out greatly and provides us opportunities to grow, find potential advertisers, break even with this adventure.
Yeah.
Even though we ultimately do it for the love of it, it doesn't hurt to break even. That would be good. And finally, if you had a name or routine in a couple words, what would it be?
If you had to name a routine?
No, your routine.
Your routine, specifically.
Geez. So I know what I would do.
All right.
I don't know what the name would be, but I know for a fact I would do something similar to what Ken does in his final performance, where he sings.
Yeah.
Because I have a terrible, terrible singing voice.
Okay.
I've always wanted to be a pop star.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Like,
that's cool.
Like, specifically a pop star, not a rock star.
Yeah.
Not like a pop star.
Yeah.
And so would you work
that whole routine around that?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
I just saw another trailer for...
I thought you were going to have to, like... I thought you were preparing to stand up for us.
What's going on right now?
This is an audio medium. It wouldn't make sense to demonstrate the dance.
You can still do it for
But us. I just saw another trailer for The Gunslinger yesterday, which I think works for the Silver Bullet, which I think would be my dance. So there would be a lot of, like, gunslinging, spinning guns, shooting rounds into the air. Like, it would be fun.
Whipping off a floor-length leather jacket with nothing underneath.
Exactly. I have, like, a giant duster with nothing underneath.
Nice. I could see that working. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah,
that's a really good set.
That's great.
Yeah, my name would be the Silver Bullet.
I think I would do... Oh, like, it would probably be primarily a dance routine, but then, like, it would be have influence of, like, photography, so, like, flashes to get that kind of, like, stop motion effect, something like that, while taking a few, like, I don't know how I'd do it, but, like, I take a few photos as I'm up on the stage with whoever I'm dancing for that they ultimately get to go home with, something like that, something.
Oh, okay.
Like a little takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be fun.
What would the song be?
Oh, that's a good question. There's not many, like, photography.
I know. But, songs. Yeah, I'm sure you could get a good song with, like, kind of a shutter.
Yeah, because you definitely need that.
Sound to it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Are there any...
The only songs that come to mind would not be good stripper songs.
No,
so you'd have to go back and do some research.
Yeah.
They're just the songs that they play. Like, the ones that come to mind are the ones that are in the background during a, like, modeling sequence like a photo shoot sequence where it just has that, like, beat. It would not work, though. It's not right.
It's fine.
That's tough. That's a good question.
The song's a harder one. I wouldn't have an answer for mine. Would you have an answer for yours?
I don't know the specific song, but it would definitely be a cover of something Lana Del Rey has done.
I could see that.
Okay. Yeah.
That's a good one. That has been...
Unless it's an original, because I'm a pop star in my fantasy.
It could also be an original.
In the meantime.
But I'll, like, settle the aesthetic for Lana Del Rey. Style
yeah,
of Lana
completely.
Del Rey.
Okay. Yes.
That has been another episode of Munch and the end to Magic Month, which we may pull out again at some other time. I think we all enjoyed it. This has been Munch. Good day.